Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We are live. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first FPL Winner Show of 2024. I'm delighted to welcome Gianni Buttici today. So how have you been? How are your holidays?
Yeah, man, all good. It was lovely to get kind of the, what was it? I think we had about four game weeks or maybe three deadlines in the space of like 8-9 days. It was amazing. I really enjoyed it. And if you were having a good run, it was brilliant because you were going green arrow, green arrow, green arrow. Like the teams that did well in 18, did well in 19, 20. But if you're on the wrong end of that, I can imagine it was quite sort of, oh, this isn't what you want this time of year. But now we've got the opposite. We've got two deadlines in January, but I think the second one is on like the 30th of Jan. It feels like we've got one FPL deadline, game week 21 next week, in like the space of almost a month. So it's a slow month, January, but I think we're going to have loads of time to at least prepare and scout players because there's still domestic cup action and the FA Cup today, like Jota, Doku, KDB, Haaland, eyes on those four in particular. Like it's time to watch some games and scout players for the next sort of wave of 3-4 games.
Oh yeah, in terms of the festive period, the games were absolutely amazing. I mean, none of them were really shy on goals. I'm glad that in this holiday times we've enjoyed a lot of games. And they FPL game weeks were really high scoring on average. So it's really nice when the festive period just comes in and you enjoy the games. But they on FPL terms, I'm pretty sure a lot of, you know, struggling managers like me were on green arrow. So
yeah, good rank gains all across the board, which is good to see. Good to see so many in the chat already. James is with us. FPL Chai, who's you may have seen his content on Fantasy Football Scout. He's done a few videos. Chai is, I think, I can't keep track. He was like world 11, then 10, then 11 or 9. I don't know. He's around the top 10, which is amazing, FPL Chai. Do check him out. Frederick's with us. FPL Freddy as well. Frederick says he's, what's up, just back from Turin. Juve were sick, big win also. How funny is that, Ali, knowing what we were just talking about? Tell the viewers what we just spoke about before you went live, how I was getting distracted.
Yeah, Gianni was just talking about the Juve game score. So just a moment ago, so we were on the same thing.
That's crazy, that is. Yeah, Timothy Ware with the sixth goal. What a banger. I'll be sharing that on my Twitter feed in about an hour's time. 30-yard wonder goal. So, Ali, I guess today, like, as always, FPL winners is the theme. Your team is the theme, but picking out some performers that we've got our eye on for game week 21, as always, will be the theme. I guess we should start with seeing your team from last game week 20 points. And also just give a shout out, Fantasy Football Scout guys, if you're not already signed up as a member, do check out the members area. There's so many cool tools, and actually I'm going to be using next week to go through just a little bit of like data for me. I'm looking at players like Pedro Neto, for example, and I'm like, before I look at Neto's numbers, I need to look at Wolves' numbers. I want to know where Wolves rank for expected goals, for example, from game week 1 onwards. And then I want to know where they rank from game week 10 onwards and game week 15 onwards. Because if I'm looking at someone like Neto, my issue is, oh, do Wolves score enough goals? Or a Bowen, do West Ham score enough goals? And therefore, looking at some of that team data as well as the player data is great for the scout members area. Ali, we're going to need some, if we're going to accommodate Salah and Son, and obviously many of us now have got Trent and Haaland, we're going to get back in. We're going to need some players in our 11 that are cheap. We're going to need a Raul Jimenez, a Pedro Neto. We're probably going to need more than just Palmer as the cheap guy in our 11. So there's a few players that I'm like, oh, do I now look at that guy? What's, but before we look at players, let's have a look at your team from last week. Because 1.4 million, I know you wouldn't have taken that 3 months ago, 4 months ago, but actually 3-4 weeks ago, you absolutely would have taken 1.4 million. You've had some big green arrows recently.
Yeah, I've had 4 or 5 consecutive green arrows, so it's it was a good run of it's been a good run for me. In terms of the budget options in midfield, yes, especially with Alexander Arnold coming into the template, I think it will be really challenging to fit in all of the favorite assets like Salah, Son, Haaland, and Trent Alexander-Arnold. It's it will be challenging, but we are here to help, so we'll try to maybe tip some of the budget enablers in midfield or maybe as a strikers as well. So let's start with my team. I scored 89 points, so my previous rank was around, I think I was just inside 2 million. So it shoot me up to 1.4. Dubravka was an amazing game against Liverpool at Anfield. I mean, I captained Salah this game week, and it was really, really tough to see. I didn't expect much from Dubravka, but penalty save, and then tens of saves afterwards.
Amazing.
I think he got 3 or 4 save points in the end. So despite conceding 4 goals, he still managed to get, decent points. Porro was too, unlucky that they, concede late in the game. Arnold was 0 points. It was my transfer in. Gabriel, of course, my defense didn't do much, but luckily my captaincy my captaincy chip and Palmer points really, helped the rank. So basically my midfield was Martinelli, Son, Palmer. Son, of course, Mr. Reliable. I mean, he scored again. Martinelli was an assist point. Palmer, what a player. I mean, it was the first game of the game week, and I watched that game, and it was just simply quality in that game. Palmer is so just too good to ignore, and I can imagine Pep Guardiola thinking, what did he do? Like, telling him to, not direct rivals, but still, like, a team with the potential to challenge for titles.
Yeah.
And Salah, despite, missing the penalty, he still turned out with a great haul and 32 points from him. Darwin, it's hard to talk about Darwin now, because it's a big dilemma whether to sell or keep. I have Watkins and Jesus, and I'm not sure I like my forward line.
Well, yeah, you've got, I mean, loads that own Darwin, like me, will go, that's your Haaland replace, that you're selling him for Haaland. But for you, Jesus could be your become Haaland very easily. Like, that could be a Haaland spot. Like, which one is a bigger sell, Darwin or Jesus? That's a tough question, isn't it?
It is. There's not much between them. They don't score a lot. But I feel like if Darwin gets more chances.
I mean, I would sell Jesus before Darwin, but I know the chat will all say sell Darwin ASAP. But yeah, let's see what minutes he gets today.
It's hard to sell Jesus before the Palace game. I mean, I'm not sure if Arteta gave him a rest in the last game playing Nketiah, or it's due to his performances. So it's not clear, to be honest. And we'll see in the cup game today, and we'll get more info
Jesus
on that.
Again. And Nketiah didn't come in and set the team alight, did he? Like, he was pretty bland. Arsenal, it was probably one of their worst attacking displays of the season, with Nketiah leading the line. Obviously, Saka got the early goal. Martinelli assist, which was good. You know, you got some points there. Shame about Saka's 7, Martinelli's 5. I ended up benching Saka, Ali. So when I saw that that goal go in after 2-3 minutes, Saka's the highest owned player in the game.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore
him. And I had him on the bench, and he scored in the first 2 minutes. I was like, oh man.
But otherwise, you would have benched Palmer, I believe. I think it was between two.
Yeah, it was, and I wasn't even that 50-50 on it by the end. By like Thursday, Friday, I was like, yeah, I'm set. I'm benching Saka. It was Saka, Solanke, Darwin or Palmer. I was never really going to do Darwin or Solanke, so it was Palmer or Saka. Yeah.
So it was a good decision in the end. I mean, I can't imagine the pain benching Palmer in the end. So
some of the scout guys did as well. Check out some of the other scout guys on these videos on this channel. You'd have seen some pain last week. I think FPL Mode did.
Yeah. So two of my transfers were Trent and Garnacho. I missed the deadline of game week 18 or 19, I believe. So it was painful because that game week, I should have taken a hit. I mean, I missed the deadline. Garnacho scored a brace. Arnold scored 8 points. So it was, you know, just a painful week to watch that. But I had to go for it anyways because of the team structure. Garnacho, his price tag is really good to have him at least for, you know, on the bench for tougher fixtures. But I think he's got more to offer, you know, as a cheap enabler.
He's United's first choice wide man. Whether they're talking left or right, if you look at Rashford, you look at Antony's performances, and you look at Garnacho, and you look at the minutes they're getting, actually Garnacho is the first choice wide man on for either side. So definitely good for starts, probably good for sets of 90, and so cheap. We spoke about at the top of the show about needing... Do we need a Neto in our team or a Garnacho in our team? Like some other cheap players to be able to accommodate, I guess, the big four, Trent, Salah, Son and Haaland. If we think we can get to that top four, and maybe you do go, oh, I'm not going to have Son. But even then, a Trent, a Salah and a Haaland draft still needs some cheap guys. So good. You're a step ahead with that Garnacho moving away because many have got, say, Palmer as their cheap midfielder. You've got a cheaper midfielder that's still a good asset in Garnacho.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we switch to the bus team because I have we have to take into consideration the cup games and some of the assets that might be interesting in coming weeks ahead of the good fixtures. For example, Brighton assets like João Pedro.
Yeah, he's another one that fits into that category of, what is he, 5.5 million-ish?
Yeah, he's on pens. I mean, whenever he plays and with, you know, recent injuries to Brighton, White, you know, players, even Mitoma is off to the Asian Cup, and I think they have, you know, they have to utilize the whole squad. And João Pedro is seems to be nailed, and he scored.
Started yesterday.
Yeah, he started and he scored 2 goals, so it's looking good for Brighton in terms of the fixtures as well.
Yeah, they're right at the top of many tickers, and do check out the ticker on Scout. Guys, also do hit that like button if you like what you see in this morning's stream. Shall we have a little look at your bus team, Ali? Let's see how you're set moving forward, because you've got one free transfer, is that right?
Yeah.
And how much money in the bank?
I have one free transfer. I have Salah and Son out. I think I have enough money. Let me check real quick. I have enough money to move 1.1 million.
Yeah. So you need the money out of probably Salah, maybe Son, to get Haaland up if you would sell, say, a Jesus or a Darwin to Haaland. Yeah. But I guess, are you fit? I mean, you can't really. It's hard to commit to an opinion on this until we see Haaland today. But what's your thinking from the off on Haaland versus Newcastle? If he starts today and gets 60 minutes and looks good against Huddersfield, do you go, I need him in for Newcastle away? Or do you go, oh, I can actually wait till game week 22, Burnley at home? That's when I absolutely need him.
I'm not sure he starts the game. I think he'll get a 20, 30 minutes cameo, but you never know.
Me too.
Because it's a bone injury in the end. So it's not sure. We'll see and we'll have to make a decision. But my initial plan was I had to get Trent and Garnacho in order to fit Foden and Haaland. For
right.
Salah and either one of Jesus and Darwin. But with the price drops, I'm not sure if I can do Darwin to Haaland. So we'll see. Having Darwin in the absence of Salah is not bad at all. So my initial plan was Salah to Foden and Jesus to Haaland. If Jesus starts, you know, scoring goals, maybe it would be Darwin, but I can compromise on Foden, maybe getting Doku if he's fit, maybe, some other assets. But I think we have to move towards the City assets ahead of the double game week.
Yeah, we're still waiting for that announcement, but we think it will happen. And most experts are predicting there'll be that City double in 25. We could also be in a position where we see players like Mo Salah get a double in 25, but then blank in 26. And so the blanks are going to be really interesting. The blank in 26 is, I think, the Carabao Cup final, which Liverpool could be in. They play Fulham in the semis, and we'll know before, well, I think the first leg is before 21, second leg after 21. But then game week 29 will also be a massive blank, because that'll be the FA Cup, I think, fifth round. So again, we're getting into chip territory, right? We're getting into doubles and blanks in the not too distant. With those blanks in mind, knowing you might not want to use your free hit for them, I'm starting to go, oh, where possible, I need a good squad. Where possible, I need my... Okay, Taylor's probably an all right spot, at least he starts, but I need... my fourth defender is Lascelles, for example. At some point, I need to burn a transfer on my fourth defender. I need to use a transfer, a valuable transfer, on a player like Lascelles, who's not going to be starting, going, I can't have dead spots on my bench for this part of the season. I love starting the season with a dead spot. In fact, for the first 20 game weeks, I encourage a dead spot. But now we're starting to go, with those blanks in mind, boost your bench a little bit.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That was the part of the reason why I went for three strikers, because I knew Son, and there's always a possibility to keep one of, it's most likely Son on my bench for a couple of game weeks, because the gap between, you know, game week 20 and 21, it's too big. If we had another game, let's say midweek instead of FA Cup, I think that would have changed my mind, but I had to get a third striker in case, just to move around with my transfer. I still have, you know, Gehi and Taylor, you know, playing defenders, but I will need to upgrade them. But you know, losing too much value on Son and Salah is just it feels like a good decision to sell both and get really good, you know, midfielders like Bowen or City mid, or, you know, some of the differentials. It just, for me, you know, I have to, you know, I like to wait until the very late to get more info and data and injury updates, because this year my team squad value isn't that good, so it's there's no point of, you know, getting it up now halfway through the season. So we'll I'll wait until the at least FA Cup games are played and see how the teams overall look.
Yeah, I hear that. With Son and Salah, the big question for many this week is, like, who do I replace them with? Do I sell them both? Big question mark over both. Some have moved early, but the vast majority of you watching are going, I'm probably going to sell them both, and I'm not 100% locked in on my two replacements. But Jared Bowen is maybe one of them, and Richarlison is maybe another. That seems to be the template. Personally, I don't think I'm going to buy either of those players, just throwing it out there. But Ali and I often don't buy the absolute go-tos, although, look, we've still got a lot of templated players. Of course, both of us do. When you look at Son and Salah, Ali, I think I would like to, in the ideal world, because we've got a good front eight, we don't have that dead spot, right? We don't have a Mbama or a Cameron Archer. So we could afford to bench a Salah or a Son and still put out a good front seven, right? Your Garnacho is way better than many Cameron Archers out there, for example. Palmer is my cheapest attacker, my eighth attacker, if you like. So with that in mind, we could go, we're keeping Son or we're keeping Salah. But my big question is, do I absolutely need Son after he gets back from the Asia Cup? I'm not sure I definitely do. Like I think I need Salah more than I need Son. So is there a world in which I can keep Mo Salah and sell Son? And I don't think there is, purely because I need the Salah funds to get Haaland back in the team. I don't think the Son funds are sufficient enough for me to get Haaland back in two moves. So that's the big question. If I can sell Son, keep Salah, I think I will, but I don't know if that would be possible to get Haaland in. Now, it probably will be if I get Haaland in 22, but if I need Haaland for 21, it makes it that little bit harder. So my question to you is, which one are you thinking, if there's a chance you keep, it will be which one of the two?
Yeah, in my case, it has to be Son, because yeah. I don't have enough funds to fund Haaland in case I sell Son. So he's most. If I keep one, he'll be the one. So Salah is the way to go if I want to afford Haaland. The thing with Son, I believe last couple of games when Richarlison came back, I think Son was on the left wing.
Yeah,
and I wonder if it limits his opportunities to score a little bit, because with the arrival of Timo Werner, with Madison coming back from the sidelines, I think we like Son and we used to like Kane because those two were the talismanic players for Spurs, and those were the only ones scoring points most of the games. And I'm not sure if they have more options like Madison, like Richarlison, like Werner, like even Johnson playing, and Kulusevski. I think Son's ownership will be going down, because after getting Trent in their teams, I think it will be really challenging to afford all of the players when they get back from the international duties. And in my case, I'm just cheap on transfers. So yeah. I'll have to keep a couple of them. I'll need them because my defensive line isn't good. And Son, going forward, if you can keep him, why not? I'm in for keeping him and waiting for the Asian Cup of Nations to play out and see the monitor when he's coming back.
Yeah, when I look at the Asia Cup and AFCON, I go, Asia Cup, Son is very, there's a very good chance Son gets to the final. I think South Korea are second favourites. I think maybe Japan are favourites. When I look at AFCON, the strength there and depth in so many good teams, I think Egypt are about fourth or fifth favourites. They're not the favourites, but they're, I don't know, 8-1 or something. So there's teams out there like, I think Senegal are shorter odds. I think Tunisia, Morocco, I think Algeria might be. All shorter odds than Egypt. So there is a chance we see Mo Salah coming back after, I don't know, the quarterfinals. And therefore, you're only actually missing, I think, three games. If he gets to the semis, it will be four, and final four or five. I think there's a third place playoff, which is why it's the same as the final if you get to the semis. But Mo Salah has less of a chance of missing that four or five games than Son. Son, I think, will miss definitely four or five games. Salah could miss three. He could miss, unlikely, but he could miss two. So It's worth considering that. If you sell Salah this week and he comes back in game week 24, which is when Liverpool play Burnley at home, and 25 for Salah could be a double, you're gonna have to buy Salah in 24. Now, selling him in 21 to buy him in 24, if you can ride him out on your bench, great. The big problem is Haaland. Actually, FPL would be made a lot easier in the next couple of weeks if Pep comes out and says Haaland's still not ready, or the bone injury isn't healed as they would have liked, and he plays 20 minutes today and it's aggravated and he's actually out again week 21 and 22. Our teams look so much better and in terms of squad without Haaland. Can we afford to go without him, though, if he's fit?
I think It's hard to tell because KDB will be back as well.
There's an alternative.
Yeah, with his... I'm not sure if we'll need Son, because in that price bracket, there's only, De Bruyne, who's 10.2 million. So I'm pretty sure that the, as per usual, casual season for City, they will start, scoring three or four goals again, and they will, be up there in the top two, top three challenging teams. And I think we need City assets. And KDB, with the funds available, if people still, decide to go without Haaland, KDB is the go-to option.
Yeah. A question in the chat, I think it's from Forgone. One competition has a third, fourth place match, the other one doesn't. Yeah, which one of the AFCON and Asia Cup has? I thought it was AFCON that has the third place playoff. But someone will let us know in the chat, I'm sure, the answer to that, or you can just give it a quick Google. So Ali, right here, right now, if you're looking at the moves you're most likely to make, I know we don't have all the information with Haaland Fitness and KDB and Doku. Do you think you'll be making two moves for a hit? I think, is that the question?
What I'm trying to do at the moment, I'm trying to fit in Haaland selling Son. So if I sell Son and bring Haaland for Jesus, I have only 4.7 million in the bank.
Oh, but it's possible. Because I've just tried that with Darwin and I have 2.9. So if I sell Son and Darwin for Haaland, I need a midfield of 2.9, which is impossible. 4.7, you could go with someone that's always third bench or second bench, but still gets minutes.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the same as possible because I don't see many, Buonanotte maybe for 4.7, but he's, he's just playing in the absence of Adingra and I think... Well,
Sarabia gets starts. He started the last six games, Sarabia.
That's true. It was
4.7 exactly, and with no Huang there, I know Neto is back, and that's kind of like for like, but you'd think Sarabia keeps his spot, and he's on some of the set pieces.
Oh yeah. I was actually choosing between him and Garnacho when I needed to go for a budget option. So Sarabia is up there as well, so maybe it's an option. We'll see.
The other one that I like, and I know you mentioned Buonanotte, but actually for minutes, Hinzelwood, the young lad at Brighton, he's 0.1% owned. He's 4.5 million. He's played 90 in the last two. I can't remember what his minutes were yesterday in the FA Cup. But before that, he played 63, 74. So he started the last four in the Premier League. Actually, he started the last, I think, six from the last seven. He's actually got a bit of goal threat. He scored recently and he just got an XG of 0.4 last time out, 0.33 the time before that. Quite good numbers. He plays wide right, I think, when he's on.
It's interesting because I've seen his goals, but I didn't really pay attention because he's, I know in one of the games, he scored in both that he started. So he played 19 against Spurs and scored, and he played 72 minutes against Brentford and scored with maximum bonus points. So
yeah, and against West Ham, he didn't score last time out, but clocked 0.4 XG. So,
it's interesting. I'll have to research on the comeback dates for the Brighton wingers, and I was actually looking into João Pedro because Brighton has good fixtures, and I think was a good manager as De Zerbi. They cannot keep the bad form. Sooner or later, they will start scoring again, and they seem to recovered somehow, but it's still up to debate. So we'll see. Brighton assets are on my radar, especially João Pedro at the moment.
Yeah, I like that. I'm just looking at yesterday's minutes at Brentford as well. So Lewis Potter did start again. And Lewis Potter, of course, has got Brentford are short, right? I know Tony is going to be back, but and Bermo's injured and Vissa's gone to AFCON. So Lewis Potter, I think, again, could be good for starts during AFCON. Brentford have got okay fixtures. And Lewis Potter has started the last four, plus he started yesterday. So four in the league. And he got a goal last time out against Palace. Again, just a cheap midfielder that should be good for starts. 0.1% owned, 4.7 million.
I believe Iwan Tony is coming back. What do you think?
Yeah, he scored. They had a under 22 or 23 game yesterday and he scored a couple in it. Yeah. I think he is available from game week 21 onwards.
Interesting.
Will he be sold though? I think there's a big question mark, like that Arsenal and Chelsea and clubs like that are linked. I think there's a good chance he's probably not sold till the summer. He's not listed on FPL, I don't think. Is he listed on FPL? No, he must be. Oh no, he is. Sorry, he's on the second page.
It's 7.9.
Yeah. But and he's not, available. His flag's come off. So yeah, he was flagged. Yeah. He can play 21. He probably will play in 21, I guess.
So what do you think about the teams with good fixtures like Chelsea and I think Chelsea has decent enough fixtures in short term, you know, despite the Liverpool away game. But do you plan on going another Chelsea asset, or is an option for you? Because Sterling has scored again.
Yeah, man. I watched Chelsea yesterday. It was weird. They played like a 4-4-2 in the first half, and Palmer and Brozier were at the front two, and Sterling was wide right and Mudryk was wide left. And Brozier missed a one-on-one, which was a really cute attempt of a finish, like a bit arrogant, a little bit like what we saw against Luton with the stud roll. This was always a little dink. It went just wide, but Palmer looked good. Brozier looked good. Like, Brozier scored and then hit the bar minutes later. Brozier's a really cheap forward. Identical. Like 4.9. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I look at that and go, oh, do I need another? Or if I'm looking for cheap players, I guess my summary of it is I prefer, when I'm looking at cheap attackers and midfielders, I prefer Pedro Neto to any other cheap option in midfield. And I prefer João Pedro to any other cheap option in attack, I think. And I trust Brighton to always score goals, man. Like, even yesterday, they scored 4 against Stoke. And I look at those Brighton fixtures and I think, yeah, maybe if you can't afford a João Pedro and you need that cheap 8th attacker, a Hinzelwood or a lot are looking at Pascal Gross for obvious reasons. He's a little bit more expensive, but I like João Pedro if you can get there.
Yeah, João Pedro is, you know, it just, for me at the moment, I don't like my team because I need too many transfers to make at the moment, because Darwin, I'm not excited about. Jesus, I'm not excited about. My bench defenders like Gehi and Taylor. Taylor is flagged. I'm not sure if he features against Luton.
Yeah, I saw that.
So it's with my transfers, I think I need mega differentials, and I still don't have Saka, and Bowen is fairly highly owned, and especially as well as Solanke. I mean, I've tried to keep my template, you know, players that are threat to my rank at the minimum, but this looks like. It's good that Son and Salah will be off, because a lot of people will be going for, you know, different players, and the FPL scope will be a little different and more differential. And it's a good period of time to try to recover, try to gain ranks. It just, some of those players like Bowen and Foden will be really, really highly owned.
Yeah, they will be. And Nkunku, by the way, it's reported this morning he'll be out for 3 weeks with a hip injury. So again, like, Breuer in terms of starts with no Jackson, no Nkunku, like, Breuer needs to be playing week in, week out. But the problem with, when we're talking about João Pedro or Brozier, you look at your attacking spots, and I know your team's slightly different, but the template attack is actually Watkins, who people are happy with because the fixtures are good, Solanke because he's been playing well, and then that third spot is going to be become Haaland, no matter who you've got. So the template front three will be Watkins, Solanke, Haaland. Which one of them do you consider selling to punt on a João Pedro or a Breuer? Very few will want to sell one of those three. It's easier to accommodate teams like Brighton or Wolves or Chelsea in perhaps one of the midfield slots. What's your take with the midfield slots in terms of your team, and I, because you don't have Saka. There's a lot of Saka owners out there getting a bit frustrated. Colm has said in the chat, like, he's thinking maybe Saka out to Gross in the next few weeks, a way of making some money. You've got Martinelli. Are you going to continue to invest in that Arsenal attack?
I mean, Martinelli did a, you know, okay job covering Saka points, because he wasn't too much off. They both didn't score much.
I thought Martinelli played better.
Yeah, that's the thing with Martinelli. I mean, when when Arsenal play a counter-attacking style, I think Martinelli is up there with a higher goal threat, because he's always in the end of those runs, the breakthroughs. Yeah. But Saka is, he somehow manages to score, you know, when in on a more consistent basis. So I was really hoping to, one of the plans was to get rid of Martinelli and get Saka ahead of this game week, but I think there's no point of doing that. But for Saka owners, it will be a tough sell ahead of Crystal Palace. because Arsenal desperately need points. I mean, after dropping quite a few in the last couple of games, I think, you know, Arsenal is under pressure to perform, and if they do, Saka will be definitely amongst them.
Yeah, I hear that. And we still don't fully know the penalties. Like, Saka, does he give it to Odegaard or Havertz, or does he take it himself? Final thoughts then, Ali, in terms of captaincy. If you own Haaland, let's say we think Haaland's going to start, but we don't know if he'll play 90, but we think he'll start. If Haaland's in your team, do you give him the armband for Newcastle away, or do you look at a Martinelli at home to Crystal Palace, or a Watkins away at Everton, or a Palmer at home to Fulham? There's a few options this week. Like, it's not a gimme that if we own Haaland, we captain him, because we don't know he'll get 90, and on paper, it's still a tough fixture.
Twice, when I was even, you know, slightly considering maybe captaining Palmer, he scored 18 points last game week. And he scored, I think it was Sheffield United, 14 points. So it was a thought that didn't really materialize. I was like, okay, it's Palmer. I mean, it's what if he's benched? What if he just doesn't get a pen? It's Chelsea. It's too unreliable at the moment. But with Palmer in a red-hot form, I think he's a good, you know, captain's option. And I believe Chelsea and Fulham games are always, always fun. And Chelsea is always putting a good performance against Fulham.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's a big game for Chelsea, that, the derby. And Chelsea scored 4 yesterday, and Palmer was free-flowing, playing central. I don't know if... I still can't work out if he's better central in the 10 or wide right cutting in. But they're starting to score some goals now, which is useful. I should just mention, Ali, as we are on air, it's been reported that Gabby Jesus has got his third knee injury in just over a year. I think he's a major doubt for the cup clash today. It's his big doubt for the game, as reported by the Sun Football. We might be looking at Jesus didn't start. As you mentioned earlier, maybe that game when Nketiah came in wasn't through lack of form. There was a knock there, and he's still carrying that knock.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate for Jesus because, you know, he's such a good player, but it is what it is. I think that will make my decision easier, at least.
You might have a nice differential in Darwin, because all those that did own him have now sold him or will be selling him this week. You might have that luxury against Bournemouth, where it actually, for once, converts his XG.
It's Darwin, man.
You're not going to get too excited about that one.
I used to be.
Yeah, we both did, didn't we? Yeah. We're both fans of Darwin, but yeah. Hey, look, if you want another XG monster, we already have, like, Darwin in the league. Jackson obviously joined in the summer, another one that doesn't always perform his XG. Gabby Jesus, Ollie Watkins, other strikers that we don't hate as much in FPL, but yeah, they often don't live up to their XG hype. But the return of the beast, the return of the king of underperforming his XG, Timo Werner, now an FPL asset once again. So guys, if you like those sorts of strikers that do pass the eye test and get the chances, they're often not that expensive because the conversion rates aren't bad, but they might have one of those games where they do go and get a hattie and a huge haul. Eyes on Timo Werner at Tottenham. Does that put you off Richarlison, do you think, Ali? Timo Werner coming in? It does me.
Not too much. I never liked Richarlison. He's, you know, he's a short-term option only. He's never been consistent enough to be, you know, template for, let's say, a couple of months or so. So he's always a short-term option. And I like to think more of a long-term, and we'll see about him. I wonder how much Timo Werner will be priced, because it's interesting. If he's around 7 million, why not? If he's priced more than that, I think I don't think he'll be popular if he's priced more than 7.5.
Yeah, Turbo Timo's got to be cheap. And remember, guys, this isn't the Werner that came to the Premier League with a huge reputation, what was it, 3 years ago for a big transfer. This is a Timo Werner that did all right at Chelsea, but eventually they didn't think he was good enough. And then went back to Leipzig, where he was the big fish in the small pond. And by the way, at Leipzig this season, can't get a game for love nor money. He is going to Spurs to get some game time because they want to protect their value in their asset and go, he needs to be playing because he can't get anywhere near our 11. And if you look at his minutes this season and goals this season, it's been very, very modest. So it will be an interesting one if Postecoglou and Spurs can kind of change De Werner that and bring back perhaps De Werner we saw back in the Bundesliga 4 years ago. And if we see that type of Werner, then yeah, he will be a good FPL asset. And he'll love playing on the counter. He'll love those fast attacks alongside players like Sonny and Brennan Johnson. So one to monitor for sure. Ali, I think that's all we've got time for today. We'll pick this up again next Sunday and on our normal slot. We'll be, of course, looking back at the 21 game week so far. There'll be loads to talk about next Sunday in terms of games. But yeah, guys, if you can hit that like button on your way out, it doesn't take a second to hit the like button and the subscribe one. If you're not already subscribed, then do hit those buttons and follow Ali on Twitter. You can check me out. I've got my own YouTube channel. But yeah, for now, guys, I think we'll see you next Sunday.
See you guys.